So we stopped last week at verse 25. Pastor Mike told me I could take as long as I wanted because this is important stuff. I have noticed that the stuff that is really important is the stuff I need to hear more than once. I ask the people who meet with us and pray before the service at 9 a.m. Welcome back, Orel. I ask people to pray for me because there are things in this passage that are hard for me personally to say. They're hard for me to say because I want people to like me. And sometimes when you say things from the Bible, if I just read it and didn't make commentary, sometimes people get mad at me because they feel convicted. And it's hard for me for that reason. It's also hard for me because I'm convicted by these things. I believe there's a verse that we're going to look at this morning that if we took it seriously would change every single relationship that we have. I believe it can save marriages. It can heal family relationships. It's really important. I do think it is one of the most ignored instructions in all of God's Word, even with Christian people. So we have been talking about how to live after we had three chapters that we spent several months on that told us who we are because of Jesus. Doesn't apply to people who aren't believers. It only applies to those of us who have been born again. But we're not born again because we're wonderful. We're not Christians because we're better people than other people. In fact, Paul says in the first part of this book, we were dead. Put that on your resume, your spiritual resume. You're going to hand God your resume. God, here's the reason why you should love me. I'm a sinner, and I'm dead. See, we had nothing to commend ourselves to God at all. All our little things we did for brownie points are meaningless. They don't cancel out our sin and how we fall short. So God, in his great love for us, Paul said earlier, God took us dead people who were powerless to change, and he made us alive when we came to Jesus. And we have looked at those first three fabulous chapters that just tell us who we are, and it's all about what God has done. Our part of it was we just simply responded to him. There are still people who try to earn it. Good luck with that, because we wind up being self-deluded when we think that we're good enough, because we aren't. We are accepted, the Bible says, in Jesus, the Beloved. That's what makes us acceptable. So I'm hanging on to him as tight as I can, and he's hanging on to me as tight as he can, and that's what's going to get me home. We finished last week at looking at some instruction about what to put off because it doesn't fit who we are anymore as believers. And we're told what to put on in its place. And then there's a fabulous statement made in verse 24. And the reason I'm saying it is because verse 25 starts with the word therefore, which is a connective word. You Bible students know that when a passage has a therefore in it, it means that what you're about to hear is completely and directly connected to what it was just said. In verse 24, it says that we're to put on a new life, the new life that we've been given in Jesus, and I love this phrase, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. An extreme makeover spiritually isn't going to work. We need a completely new life. And that's precisely what we've been given when we came to Jesus. It's a new life created to be like God. Let me read. I'm going to read all the way through to verse 1 of chapter 5, even though we will only get about half of it this morning. Please open your hearts. to what God has to say. See if it applies to you. I promise you it will. I promise there will be gulping and wincing when I read some of these things, and I will be gulping and wincing myself. Therefore, because you have been given a new life that was created to be like God in true righteousness, true holiness, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, because we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. That word foothold means opportunity. That's the title of our study today. Don't give the devil opportunity. We'll talk about what gives him opportunity. Verse 28, he who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. There is a reason to work that hardly ever enters into people's minds. But the Bible says it more than you'd think. That we work to have not just enough, but to have something to share. That's what distinguishes Christians from non-Christians, or is supposed to. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, I skipped the verse I didn't want to read. Verse 29. Is there anybody that's qualified to read this that could come and read this next verse? Probably not. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The word benefit means to give grace, so that it may give grace to those who listen. You might write in your margins what I wrote, and that's the word, especially children. I'll read it again. Do not allow, that's what let means, do not allow any unwholesome talk to come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit or give grace to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And it gives us a list of stuff to dump that grieves the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we'll look at this next week. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. Forgive each other the way he has forgiven you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I just wanted to hear all of that in its context. We'll look at a portion of that next week. So, you hear anything that made you wince? Yeah. The unwholesome talk thing. I'll tell you what's pathetic about it for me. I mean, it's natural. The fact that he says don't allow any unwholesome talk means it's going to want to come out. But the fact that it says don't allow it means I have control. You know what I mean? Usually we blame somebody else. Well, I wouldn't have said that if you weren't so stubborn, or if you hadn't said your, but see, we can't weasel out of it with that, because it was my mouth that it came out of. You know what I mean? So, we have that to look forward to today. Therefore, verse 25, let's look at this piece by piece. Lord, please give me words more than just my own. I have a wealth of examples of bad examples of my own self to use, so I have lots of illustration material. Therefore refers primarily, as I said before, to verse 24. the very last thing that he said. We have a new self, a new life that's been given to us when we were born again. And that life is created to be just like God. In fact, as you look through this, all of this instruction that he said about what to put off and what to put on in its place, you realize that all he's asking us to do is be like Jesus. That's the life we've been given. But the phrase that jumps out and hits me because of growing up in church, where there was superficial righteousness, where in legalism, where they say, okay, don't do these things, you know, dress a certain way, act a certain way, and as long as you look good, you're okay. In legalism, your heart can be rotten, but if you keep the rules, then you're okay. And that's never God's idea. God always wants to work true righteousness and true holiness, and that's the life that he's given us. So I want to talk about that because it is important. These things that he's going to talk about are the way to live because we have new life. They're not the way to live so that we can get new life. Please note that. They are fruit of the life that we already have. And we've talked many times about the good dog and the bad dog battle that goes on between our flesh and the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And the one that wins that battle is the one that I'm feeding. And often we are feeding the wrong one. And of course, then when the battle comes and the pressure is on, what comes out is my flesh, because that's the one that's been fed. That's the dog that's going to win the fight. Wednesday night, we talked about the fact, in the light of the Lord's coming, Paul talks about some of these very same things. Interestingly, I did not plan it that way. But he talks about some of these same things, and we've noticed that when the pressure is on, that's why what you said, Mary, was so perfect for today, because this is the time of the year when people are supposed to be celebrating peace, but they're under the worst pressure of their whole year. That's not an accident. And in 1 Thessalonians that we studied on Wednesday night, it said, you know, well, usually what happens is when people are under pressure, they snap at each other. They turn on each other. That's the wrong time. That's when we need to respond in a Christ-like way. And, of course, that's natural for him, and he's good at it, and he will give me what I need. I just have to access that. I have to decide who I am and who I belong to and call upon him, and he will give me whatever I need. But there will be resistance to that. So both Wednesday night and today fit very well together, I think. Therefore, because we have a new self created to be like God, in true righteousness, true holiness, then here's the way to be. And notice there's always a put off and a put on. I like that. I like that it's not only just telling me what not to do, but it's telling me what to do, what does fit who I am now, what to put on. By the way, if you haven't figured this out yet, and I know that some of you haven't been Christians for very long, but the way that God changes me always starts with him showing me what he's like. And then, in kindness, he shows me what I'm like. So that if I'm not like him, I know what to ask him for. And often that gets confusing. I know I've told you stories many times about things that I was completely blind to in myself. I blamed bad behavior so often on other people. It was their fault. They made me do this. You know, if I just had a more understanding woman, you know, I wouldn't lose my time. You know, just the line, which is a cop-out. And when you come to Jesus and you love Jesus, the first thing that he does is he doesn't let you weasel out of that. He shines the light right on you and he says, no, buddy, you know, it's you. You stink. I love you, but you stink. I can fix that. But you have to know you stink. And so often when I'm under that process of him changing me to be like himself, he shows me how wonderful he is. makes it clear that he loves me, but then he's got to show me what I look like. And that's where often the process stops for some people. They just don't want to face who they are. But nothing's going to happen until I do. And as long as I can blame shift, and as long as I can blame somebody else, nothing's ever going to change. I'll just go right on being rotting from the inside out. So we have a new self. It's created by God to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the thing. True righteousness, which means being and acting in a way that's right with God, where my actions are pleasing to him. And holiness simply means that I belong to him. I don't belong to me anymore. It means I'm his property. Both of those things start, God does them in me. All I furnish is my will. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. We sang a bunch of songs about it this morning. But it always happens from the inside out. And this is where religion blows it. Religion tries to do it from the outside in. Do these things, these activities, and you'll be okay. Biblical Christianity is not a bunch of people trying to live like Jesus. That's a lot of people's idea, but that's not the biblical idea. The biblical idea is that there's a real Jesus. He's still alive. He said, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, and if you open the door to me, I'll come in, and I'll have fellowship with you. And biblical Christianity is that there's a real Jesus, and he's living in me. And he's the one that makes the changes. When I invite him in, he's the one that changes me. And all the things that he does happen from the inside out. Years ago, my brother and I were skiing at Mount Shasta in Northern California, which is an unbelievable place to ski, 14,000 feet high. And it's in the middle of, there aren't any other mountains around it, so it looks even bigger. And we had the place almost to ourselves. It was really fun. We went to the highest lift that was crystal clear. And we're shooting typical sibling, trying to out-ski each other. And we're skiing down this very, very narrow chute, sort of almost like a little bit wider than a bobsled thing, but where you're just going shoo, 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 like this all the way down. And we came smoking around this hard left turn, and right in the middle of the ski slope was a tree, a big green tree with packs of juicy fruit gum all over it, thousands of them. That's not something you see every day. And we came to, a stop, and we're looking, and there's this tree in the middle of the snow with juicy fruit gum packs all over it. I tried to pick one. They were glued on there. And then I found out when we got down to the lodge, they had just filmed a commercial there, a TV commercial, which you probably saw. I know I did on TV. But when I was at home with my thoughts that night, the Lord did that thing that he often does with me. He says, son, do you realize I just showed you something? And then I have to rewind, replay the day, and realize, okay, what spiritual lesson was he trying to show me? And he said, that's what you just saw is the kind of religion that you had your whole life. Paste the fruit on the outside, And it looks good. It looks good until you try to pick the fruit. And then you realize it's phony. It can't be pasted on from the outside. Real spiritual fruit has to grow from the inside. That's what it means. That's why the wording of verse 24 is important. We have a new self that's created with all the right instincts. It's just like Jesus. It's him. And the righteousness that comes from that life is real, and the holiness is real. The problem is we live in a fallen world. We have bad habits within what the Bible calls our flesh, which is our old nature, the part that doesn't want to serve God. And often the two are fighting one another, it says in Galatians. So that's why we're to put on that new self, because it's created to be just like God. Superficial works versus real righteousness and real holiness, which happen from the inside out. I can't explain it all to you, but some of you know exactly what I mean, because you came from the same place I did. You came from works-oriented, you know, rules-oriented religious systems, and it didn't change anything. In fact, if what you're hungry for is life, it is so frustrating and so distressing, it makes you want to give up. And what changed it for all of us, I know for Tim and for myself, what changed it was we found Jesus. We found the real Jesus. We asked him to come in, and when he came in, he began immediately to satisfy that hunger and that thirst for reality that we had. So first thing on the list of what to do, my response to having a new life in me is to put off falsehood, it says here in verse 25. Amplified Bible says stop lying. It is blunt. The verb tense in Greek means the ceasing of an action which is taking place. It means there's something you're doing, stop it. But the interesting thing is, the reason I like the NIV better, because it uses the word falsehood, and it's a stronger word than lying in terms of what I'm saying. Falsehood has to do with the way I'm living. Putting off falsehood means start being real and genuine. You have a real, genuine life in you. I want to talk about this for a while, because this is a common failing. It says put off falsehood, that ungenuineness, and speak truthfully. I believe that if I'm living truthfully, speaking truthfully will come easily as a fruit of that. Speak truthfully to each of you, to his neighbor. Is that what it says? To his neighbor. If you take this for what neighbor normally means in the Bible, it means the ones that are around you. And this is written, remember, to Christians. So it's speaking of living truthfully and speaking truthfully to your brothers and sisters in Christ. However, it's not exclusive to that. I believe this is where we get to practice. We get to practice how to be real where it's safe. That's, I think, what the church is designed to be, is a safe place. The church is so often accused of people being hypocritical, and that's, I think, a fair assessment, that a lot of church people are hypocritical. There are reasons for being hypocritical. The Greek word for hypocrisy means an actor, someone who's wearing a mask. Some of the reason for being hypocritical is exactly what it means by falsehood, where you're just not real. Some of it is pride. We don't want people to know what we're really like. It is the one thing that God told me when he asked me to be a pastor again, I didn't want to be, because I knew that if I was going to do it properly, I was going to be vulnerable. I couldn't protect myself anymore. I was going to have to rely on him to protect me. And it also meant I was going to have to sit up in front of people and be real and be honest. And I have sheep bites all over my body, so I'm a little nervous around sheep. Some of them are carnivorous, you know what I mean? Some of them can't be trusted. Some of God's people are not safe people. The ones that truly know him and are yielded to him are safe people. And the church is supposed to be the best place in the world for us to grow up, even with our flesh hanging out, even when we're bozos. This is the place to be unbozoed. We are determined that it will be that way.